Well, I'm still buzzing from that anti-woke university conversation. Many of you still texting in saying I'm wrong. That's fine. Still a bad idea, though, an anti-woke university. Many of you want to send your kids there. I mean, listen, if someone is scoping out a business plan, take notes, because you have a market. Based on these texts and calls, you have a market. Just no one that I know would want to attend it. But turns out, that's why we have these conversations. And speaking of conversations, let's walk into my favorite panel, my favorite segment. It's time for the War Room.
Let me be perfectly clear.
Putting out misinformation.
And we hear them.
Misleading politics.
What's really important here.
Spreading it online.
Unequivocally.
The War Room.
Ah, yes, my favorite people. Tasha Carradine, principal with Navigator and a national political columnist for Post Media. Tom Mulcair, CTV political analyst and former NDP leader. And Susan Smith, principal of Blue Sky Strategy Group. Hello, friends.
Hello.
Oh, so, you know, I was going to actually rebrand this to the Conservative War Room because I feel like Aaron O'Toole is the one that needs the help this week. We could almost be like a traveling war room that helps one leader every week.
Can we be
war
the
room for the, hire?
Can we be the Civil Liberties War Room in that case?
Oh, no, thank you.
Tom, are you starting a caucus within our war room?
It's a revolt.
Just a mini caucus.
Is anyone wanting to join Tom's mini caucus, or is he going to be apologizing for it moments later?
He's a caucus of one right now.
I'll write your news release, Tom.
Okay.
Yeah, he's getting back channel help from members of the War Room that don't want to go public with their caucus affiliation.
Exactly. This
has become very meta, but we'll jump into the conservatives in a second. Tom, let me start with you. I want to actually start with this. The breaking news of the North American Leaders Summit. So this is the first since 2016. Biden is hosting Mexico, Canada, the United States coming together for the first time in 2016. Tom, are these just performative exercises or do you see real value for Trudeau and Canada at these meetings?
I see both. Yeah, of course, there's some political theater involved. But at the same time, there are huge issues that have to be discussed amongst those three countries. So the border issues between the U.S. and Mexico, they're not going to go away, and it could cost the Democrats any hope of ever forming another government for a whole long time. And with regard to Canada and the United States, there are border issues coming out of the COP26 in Scotland, because they're starting to follow the model that has been proposed by William Nordhaus, who is a very prominent economist and former, you know, winner of the Nobel Prize. He has said, look, we've got to come up with rules at the border to keep out the products, or at least highly tax them, countries that are not, that are free riders, that are not following their obligations under the Paris Accord. So Canada, the U.S., and Mexico, because we're already used to working together, and we had the first deal in the world, the first big free trade deal, with a whole part on environment. So we're used to working together on these issues, and we should start and become world leaders on that, because Biden's on side. Trudeau, with his new environment minister, Stephen Guilbeault, is in an incredible position to play a world-leading role.
You know, Susan, we see that the summit's going to talk about the health crisis, pandemic, of course, environment, as Tom just mentioned, also this competitiveness and equitable growth. From your perspective, what does a good performance or a good outcome, and it could be one of both, and there's probably a Venn diagram in between those, look like for Justin Trudeau for a summit like this?
Sure. I think there's the on the camera performance and outcome, and then there's the behind the scenes outcome. Tom mentioned the environment, but there's some other huge issues for Canada, irritants that are the same actually with Mexico, and it's Mr. Biden's Buy America approach. That's going to impact our supply chain and our manufacturers hugely in a number of areas. Biggest being, or one of the key ones, is the auto sector and electric vehicles. So there's a major issue that has to be talked about there for the Prime Minister. I don't think you're going to see Biden publicly stand down at the outcome of this, but the file and the impact can be advanced. The other thing that can happen, it's again behind the scenes, is around the Line 5 issue with Enbridge. This is a pipeline that brings oil and gas into Ontario, feeds our airports, heats people's homes. And this is an issue that Canada's in court with the US, and they're at tables trying to negotiate this. So these are behind the scenes conversations. I think that the front conversations are a deepening of the relationship. There may be some further conversations, as Tom has mentioned, with regards to environmental outcomes. But the main thing we need to do 5 years on, since the last one hasn't happened since 2017, is face-to-face advance our issues. Again, we have ones with Mexico too. In Mexico, the present president has started or tended to nationalize energy infrastructure. And we have companies who have significant energy infrastructure in Mexico. So we need to have those conversations with the Mexican president as well. So COVID and politics have prevented these from happening in the last little while. I think it's very good news that it's going to happen again, because these open doors or corridors of conversation are super important to our country.
And Tasha, I want to move it on from the Three Amigos summit, so to speak. By the way, I just recently watched the Three Amigos movie again. Chevy Chase, Martin Short, Steve Martin. It holds the test of time, friends. It is actually phenomenal. I've been on a Steve Martin kick, and after watching Only Murderers in the Building, and it is phenomenal. Okay, Tasha, I'm going to focus again. Talk to me about Aaron Otsuka. I can't help myself. I need to go here. He is trying to fight the sword that has been poking him on vaccination by introducing a new term, coalition. Now Jagmeet Singh says there's no such thing. There's no NDP coalition happening. This is not a real thing. Here's what he had to say about the coalition rumors that O'Toole has been peddling.
There is no discussion at all of a coalition, and that is a firm no for me. There's not going to be any coalition at all. But I am prepared to find ways to work together, and I've made that clear since the beginning of the pandemic. I want to work to deliver more help to people. I want to make sure this parliament works for people, and I want to respect the decision that Canadians have made in this election.
Tasha, Aaron O'Toole, announcing his shadow cabinet yesterday, mentions the word coalition nearly 20 times, trying to really almost will this into the zeitgeist. Is this a good line of attack? For Aaron O'Toole?
It was 20 times the day before, and it was 7 times at the conference. And they can't say it enough, quite frankly, because the conservative base remembers the 2008 coalition, the failed coalition that was brought together by Stéphane Dion and the Bloc, and as then was Jack Layton of the NDP. That coalition helped Stephen Harper to power in a majority in 2011, because it was that boogeyman that he could wave in the window. And it was, it had foundation. This one doesn't have the same foundation, but it doesn't matter.
Exactly.
Because just saying it, the fact that Charlie Angus said, there was a conversation. And, that's enough for people who are looking for a conspiracy, or people who think, hey, there could be something going on. I think that, it's basically, I can't remember which commentator, I think it was Andrew Coyne, said basically the NDP are doing what they would have done anyway, which is they don't want to bring the government down. They really don't. They're in debt. They have no interest. So they're not going to bring them down in the foreseeable future. But I think just for Aaron O'Toole, it is a lifeline. It is a gift, because the whole vaccination conversation, all the controversies about Marilyn Gladue, and other MPs as well, Mr. Strahl included, that is now on the back burner. And as long as he can keep the focus on economics and affordability, which frankly is actually the most pressing issue for Canadians, he wins in terms of the court of public opinion. So I think he's got to keep the pressure on that. It's a smart move. It's going to dominate, I think, the next session of parliament in terms of inflation and other issues like that.
Tom, I got 30 seconds. I want your very quick take on this. This is not going to happen. This coalition thing is not real.
No.
It's made up. Is it a good strategy? Because 2/3 of this country voted for a progressive agenda. Isn't this what they want them working?
I think
together?
It is a very good strategy. It's all they've got right now. I agree completely with Tasha on this. It's a straw man that Aaron O'Toole's setting up, the better to knock it down himself. Every time the Liberals and the NDP vote together for the next year and a half until the next election, he gets to say, aha, you see, I told you. It's good politics. It's all fair.
On the other side of the break, Susan, I'm going to get you in on the conversation. We'll talk about more coalition. We'll talk about the importance of the shadow cabinets, and then we'll capture it all. What the heck is going inside the Conservative Party? They're suing their volunteer National Council members. Who knows what happens on the doors of Parliament on the 22nd? Zane Velji filling in for Evan Solomon.
Let me be perfectly clear.
Putting out misinformation.
And we hear them.
Misleading politics.
What's really important here.
Spreading it online.
Unequivocally.
The War Room.
We're back. Tasha Carradin, principal with Navigator, national political columnist for Post Media. Tom Mulcair, CTV political analyst and former NDP leader. And Susan Smits, principal at Blue Sky Strategy Group. We're talking coalitions. We're talking Erin O'Toole, talking about willing into existence, attempting to try to signal. By the way, Susan, I'm hearing that Tom from the Civil Liberties War Room Caucus is going to form a coalition with Tasha. That's what I'm hearing. I'm just hearing this. It's just rumors.
Small one.
If it's a coalition of great political commentators, I'd be happy to join that.
Oh,
one.
Look at that.
Coalition.
Look at that. Save.
Here.
Susan, lay it on me. You know, I'm not convinced, despite Tom and Tasha's arguments here, that O'Toole trying to will into existence that there's a coalition or that these two parties are going to act together, is that, you know, effective of an argument? What do you think?
Well, first of all, Jagmeet Singh's response in the news conference yesterday when he was asked about that was he said O'Toole's making stuff up. So that's plain and simple. And Mr. O'Toole can try and make as much as he likes up. In Canada, the last time we had a coalition was 1917. I do know that Jack Layton in opposition tried to form one.
I was there.
That didn't get off the ground. Yeah, you were there, Tom. You knew all about that. But the main thing is, and you started off the last round talking about vaccination as the sword that keeps poking.
Yeah, yeah.
That's hanging over his head more than any. It's more than, you know, he can't bump. He can't move without doing that, bumping into that sword. Look, his caucus executive or his party executive is against him. They've filed. They're trying to get rid of him. His caucus has voted for a leadership review. He's got 15 to 30 MPs who are starting a national civil liberties caucus. He's had to choose his shadow cabinet based on the fact that people are vaccinated or not. And we're really going to know who's not vaccinated from a conservative. And he keeps fighting what they lost for in the election. Like, O'Toole is showing a distinct lack of leadership. So any talk of anything else is an attempt to distract from the problems he's got. Look, he was happy before the last election to stand with Brian Mulroney right before and say, this is not your father's Conservative Party, and have Mr. Mulroney's endorsement. And Mr. Mulroney has since come out and said, this guy is showing no leadership. I kicked people out who weren't vaccinated. So
no, I think you're being a bit harsh there, Susan. Yeah. I don't think it's true that he's being weak, because he doesn't have the power to kick them out. He's using what he has in his O'Toole box. He has the ability to withdraw their appointment to the front bench. So Marilyn Gladue used to be on in the evening, you know, with Evan Solomon on Power Play, because she was the health critic for the official opposition. Now she's going to be sitting under the clock somewhere, you know?
But no, I agree with you, Tom, but the issue is he hasn't squelched that, and he hasn't been able to demonstrate the leadership to move on as a party and get his
is a nascent attempt to get rid of him. You know that Pierre Poiliev and the people around him would love to get rid of O'Toole, because they see him as a bit of a usurper and a phony who got elected as being, you know, true blue, but it turns out that he's a little bit purple, and they want to get somebody who's true blue, and that's Pierre Poiliev. You know that that's the play.
Tasha, let's talk about Poiliev here. Let's talk about it, because we got Poiliev. He's now the shadow minister of finance, right? The finance critic, so to speak, right? So keep your enemies closer. But let's talk about this. What does O'Toole
say that?
Okay, well, great political minds in the same caucus think alike is what I will say, as we compliment both of ourselves, Tasha. But what does he need to do? What does he need to do here? Because Tom says he doesn't have many tools. By the way, Tom, O'Toole box, excellent. Doesn't have many tools in his toolbox, so to speak. What can and should he do on extension of showing leadership? A comment and a conversation we've been bringing up week after week after week on this show.
Yeah, he's between a rock and a hard place, because the Conservatives right now, but first of all, just to be clear, the caucus that they're forming is not a caucus that is sitting outside the party. It is a caucus within the party. You've seen these kinds of things before. Even the Liberals used to have a pro-life caucus within them. It's basically a group of MPs who get together within the party on certain issues. So it's not a separate thing. The danger for O'Toole, though, is that there are other options out there if people feel really pushed to the wall. The People's Party is pretty much the only one that is a political party option, unless you want to form another political party, which don't think conservatives would be wise to do. But the point is, I think there's that fear that if people get pushed too far, could they splinter off? We've seen that movie before. And I think it would be a huge, huge mistake for the Conservative Party, the Conservative movement. It doesn't lead anywhere. And it wouldn't lead anywhere on this issue, which is one that is so profoundly divisive, I think, on a personal level for so many Canadians, within families, within others. I mean, vaccination is a toxic issue. The fact it continues is a problem for O'Toole. I do think that he should have drawn an earlier line in the sand. Even within the context of the campaign, he wasn't clear. He didn't demand vaccination. So clearly the issue has continued. And the problem is he'd have to paint it as what I think it is not a civil liberties issue at all. It is an issue like a time of war. It is an issue of national interest. It's an issue that, you know, you get a vaccination, not because it is solely in your interest. It is in the national interest. And, you know, would conservatives not go to war? Would conservatives not do other things for their country if they were absolutely necessary for society to actually function? Because the fact is, without vaccinations, we'd still be back where we were a year ago, which was in our houses, locked away. And people forget that real quick. You know, people who don't get vaccines essentially are free riding on the people who do. And funny, but, you know, the free market people who promote the free market, and I'm one of them, don't like free riders. It's a thing, right? You should. That's actually a problem. So I think O'Toole has tools. He could use rhetoric that would encourage or show conservatives that getting a vaccine is actually a conservative thing to do.
Tom, let's talk about this caucus that's forming. Tasha's right. It's within his party, the Civil Liberties Caucus, a group of an unknown number of MPs and senators wanting to kind of meet together, strategize together. They're saying, listen, this is not a challenge to our leadership. You've been a political leader of a federal party. If this were happening under your tent, what would you make of it and what would you do?
This is a challenge to his leadership, a direct challenge. When my leadership was challenged straight up, I knew who was pushing it, and they at least had a bit of a sense of history and a bit of a sense of humor, because they did it literally on the Ides of March. And they sent two people to forward to the microphones, you know, Charlie Angus and Nikki Ashton, and saying, you know, in very soft tones, let's have a review. So that's where, you know, you pull the trigger. Right now, this is the beginning of it. They're setting down the sticks of dynamite and hoping that by chance, Aaron O'Toole will walk somewhere close to where they're, you know, ready to blow this thing up. Where O'Toole has done well, I think, in the past 24 hours is saying, by the way, I still have a control over a certain number of things. You're not going to be on any panel show. You're not going to be anywhere. And that's not going to help you. It's not going to help the folks in your riding. The biggest surprise to me was that he actually lowered the boom on Leslyn Lewis, because I was looking carefully at what she had said. Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, she was supposed to be part of the good news coming out of the last campaign for the Conservatives. So he's showing himself to be pretty tough about this stuff.
You know,
well,
Susan,
he isn't. He isn't. I semi-joke, but not really. Every time I work with new candidates or prospective candidates before an election, and the first thing I say to them is, don't be the pain in campaign. You know, I guess Aaron O'Toole should be the only tool in his toolbox.
That is very, very good.
Yeah,
we're just creating bumper stickers all over the place. Yeah.
But these pains aren't going away for O'Toole. They're a distraction for him, and it will hobble him in the House of Commons, and outside, maybe not so much in the House of Commons, but outside the House of Commons, because every day he might want to come out and scrum and talk about the issues that his party has raised in the House against the government. But there will always be leadership questions, whether it's around this. If this is a civil liberties caucus, guess what? They're going to be talking about guns, too. They're going to be talking about vaccines. There will be other issues that come up that constantly hobble his leadership. So, yes, he's marginalized a few of them in the fact that they are not part of his shadow cabinet, the critics' role. They will still have microphones in their own panels to go to. And Pierre Poilievre will continue to demonstrate how much of a lovable, affable fellow he is and how appealing he is to the rest of the country every time he stands up in question period.
I need to leave it there. Tasha, Tom, Susan, that's our war room. Thank you, guys.
Talk to you soon. Bye.
Bye.